Goldwave, we've often been asked to run this session because in the past, whenever we've talked about audio in any connection, people have always been asking for the most affordable, accessible, simple stereo software editing solution. And so many people have requested this session. David, I've known for a scarily long time. He's a very accomplished guitarist, and he's presented for our Vibe group as well. But he also ran a session on Goldwave some years ago, a very successful session on Goldwave for Tavip. So who better to present? Handing over now to David.
Thank you, Peter. What I would really like to do, because I was aware that when I did a similar session back in the days, I think, when Tavip was bigger, up in Birmingham, I didn't really find out how much people already knew. So I think for some people, what I did on that occasion was maybe sort of more techie than they would have wanted, and somebody said that to me. So I'd really love to ask if we can go round the group, if people would please introduce themselves and let me know how much you've done with Goldwave already, if anything, and if there are particular areas that you'd like me to get to in the course of the meeting. Is that going to be doable, Peter?
Yes, it is. It's there are probably 13 or 14 people at the moment, so that is feasible. Sometimes if we have too many, it takes too long. If people can keep it reasonably short so that everyone gets a chance. So I will go through the list. I think that's probably the simplest way to do it. So I'm just going through in order. If you can unmute when I mention your name. So the first one is Phil Troll.
Hello there. Yeah. Hi, Ray. David, sorry. I've been using Goldwave for quite a few years. I use it almost every day when I record my Big L radio shows. Nice. And then after I've finished, I edit out the news and things like that and then put them up on listen again. So I'm quite au fait with it all. But, you can always learn something that you don't know. So I'm just hoping I'll be able to gain a few more extra tips from being here tonight.
Okay, thanks.
Raymond Brough, Ray.
Hello, David. I'm not a user, but it's one of several fairly major projects on my ICT to-do list. So anything you present us with tonight will be of interest to me. Looking forward to it.
Thanks. Alexander, I think.
Hello, this is Alex. I'm here because I heard quite a lot about Goldwave. I'm actually a Reaper and Soundforge user, but I thought, let's see what it is all about. So I'm really eager to learn.
Okay, so you use Reaper and what was the second thing?
Reaper and Soundforge, but now for me it's mainly Reaper, and I thought, but many people will talk about Goldwave, so let's see what it's all about, it can do. But
This one is just called Brooke, so I'm not sure of your other name, but Brooke, if you're there.
Hello, that could be me. It's David Brookmeyer. Hi. Just a quick one from me. It's first timer, so thrilled to be on. Just got an interest in this kind of thing anyway with software. I've got visual difficulties myself, so I feel I'm in the right place. But I was also thrilled to notice that you do this kind of thing. I've got a musical background as well, so it sounds like I'm in the right company. I've never used Goldwave before, but I've used other bits and packages and things like that. So I'm hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll be able to pick up some tips tonight.
Oh, well, welcome. CJ.
Hello, yes. Excuse me. I'm CJ, and I use Logic Pro normally, and I've got no experience with Goldwave. I'm just really interested in what it does and how you use it.
Info, that's not very helpful to know. Oh,
I'm yep. Carrie.
Oh, Carrie, hi.
Sorry, I had my finger on the unmute button and then I lost it. I have used Goldwave for a number of years, very basically. But I would always like to learn a little bit more about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Julia Cosgrove.
Yes, I have Goldwave. I used it about 14 years ago to do a lot of disc, but I've rather lost my way with it now. And I think there are some versions which Chorus doesn't do very well and rather lost the way of using it with Chorus.
Roger Walgrove.
This is like... Hello, I'm Roger. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm not a great user of any of these sort of sound packages, but I have used Goldwave to edit some audio files, you know, trimming out pauses and so forth. And I'd like to do a bit more making some presentations and also helping some people who are creating some tutoring material on ways to edit and clean up the sound files just to make things a bit easier, and also integrate other sounds would be helpful.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
This feels a bit like taking the register. Terry Robinson.
Hello there. I used to use Goldwave a little bit back in the day, and I'm talking about very much back in the day. I'm now going through the business of recovering information from old cassettes, which I'm about to junk. Ooh. And need obviously to clear out the heads and tails of those. And it would be nice to get a bit of revision as to what I'm supposed to do, because I haven't touched this thing for quite a long time.
Yeah, righty-ho.
So that's the end of the list. There are two or three people who didn't get a chance to speak. If you're one of those with names which we didn't know who you were, if you haven't yet spoken and you'd like to, we'll give you a few seconds. Anyone else?
I am Timmy Irene, new user to Goldwave. Haven't used it before, so would like to know more about it, really. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Anyone else?
Yeah, Peter, it's Phil. I just wanted to say that if you're using JAWS, it's so much easier to use if you've got the script files.
What, Goldwave?
Yeah.
I'm sure David will be talking about that. But anyway, that's everyone, David.
Okay, lovely, thanks. Okay, so I think, as I said in the outline, I will just give a description. Obviously, quite a few of you have used Goldwave already, so... Apologies, I'm going to say a bit in general that will be completely familiar to you, but as we've got people who haven't used it, it might be useful.
It will, and keep in mind that this is recorded, so it goes on the website, and so it'll be useful for other people anyway who weren't able to make it today.
Thanks for that, yeah. Okay, so, if you're used to using, if you haven't used really a sound editor before, Goldwave is a good place to start. If you have been using complicated multi-trackers, it may seem like a very simple thing, but it can be a quick way of getting something done without maybe mobilizing the full resources of your multi-tracker. I think of Goldwave as very much like Word, like a word processor, in the sense that you can open a file and you can select copy, cut, paste from one file into another, etc. So all the kind of stuff that you might expect to do with a piece of text, Goldwave allows you to do with a sound file. And as I say, in that sense, it's really quite a simple program to use. It is very cheap. I see it's actually only $19 now. Again, when I did the first presentation, it was $49. So it's getting ridiculously cheap now. I am told that this Siri tells me that this is £14.58. So it really is a bargain. You can get it by going to goldwave.com and downloading the latest version, assuming that your operating system is happy with that. It's compatible back to Windows 7 64-bit version, so even my old computer that I must replace soon can run 6.8, which is the current version. I think maybe the easiest thing I can do. So once you've downloaded it, if you're happy to pay that, and I must admit, I go along with the people who say that Chris, the designer of Goldwave, has done a lot to make it accessible. I think a lot of people feel that we kind of owe it to him to pay for it, and also given that it's kept that cheap. I think he has worked with visually impaired users to get the accessibility working, and it's quite handy to do. If you don't pay for it, every time you open it, you'll get a help window, which will remind you that you haven't paid for it, and that you've got a limit on the keystrokes that you can use. It does let you save it, save your work, if it's going to make you stop at that point. But it's worth it, I think, to be able to do whatever you want with it. So assuming you've downloaded it, you install it, you can go to the help menu where you can pay for it. And when you do that, they will send you a user ID and a password, which you can just paste in to the boxes that the program gives you. And then you're done. You're set up. So I'll assume that we're there. And the first thing that happens when you open Goldwave is that you've got this window that says MDI client. And from that window, you can make a recording or open an existing file and work on that. If you want to make a recording, it's fairly simple to do. The setup there, when you're on the interface, you've got the basic window where your files will display. There's a window called the control window, which I've got to say I barely use. The most useful thing it does is give you a time statement. Now, I at one time set up a JAWS frame reporter to tell me where I was at any point in a file, which was really handy until it stopped working and I couldn't seem to make it work again. So it's something I need to revisit, because when it works, it's really handy. And you can do that there. What you will definitely want to use is the control properties window. And within that, you've got a collection of tabs. So there's one, the first one you get to is the play tab, which lets you set up three different cursors, which may seem extravagant. It's quite handy because you can set different cursors to play different parts of the sound. I normally have them set, I've got one of them set to play the whole file if I just want to listen to stuff. But you can also set one to play the selected area when you're editing and you've selected a part of the file. You can get one of the cursors to play that. You can also get one of the cursors to play the unselected area, which allows you to listen to your edit. There are various other settings as well that you can get it to get a cursor to do for you, depending on your uses. I have a thing when I'm using it to learn a piece of music. What I will quite often do is select the first bar, and or maybe let's say I want to select the first chord. Let's say there's a complicated jazz chord, and I want to see if I can find out exactly what everything that's in it. If I bracket that, if I select that one chord, and I have one of my cursors set to play selection, and I set it to loop, which is a thing you can do, it'll play that chord to me over and over again until I've sussed out exactly what all the notes of the chord are. So that kind of thing is quite handy. And then once I've done that, I can just press delete, and because that is selected, that's what will be deleted, and I can do the same thing with the next chord or the next section of audio. So I use it quite a lot for that, for learning stuff. That's the usefulness of being able to set your cursor to carry out a specific piece of playing and being able to loop it as well. So on your play tab of the control properties window, you can set what those cursors do. You can also set up your wind and rewind speeds. I won't get into immense detail about this. For those who haven't used it, I will just quickly give an overview. You've also got a record tab, which will do things like allowing you to record the sound that's coming through your speakers on a setting called loopback speakers, which is at one time the thing I mostly used it for. I used to record a lot of stuff from the radio, and so being able to just record what I was listening to anyway was a thing that I would do a lot. You can also set a timer so that you can record a program in the middle of the night if you're a world service freak. What's that? Again, a lot of the things I used to do when I did this presentation, the BBC Sounds app means that I no longer do. But if you do want to listen to a program on Sounds and record it at the same time so that you can play around with it, edit out the songs from a program, that's a thing you can do. So you can chuck out the DJ, sorry Phil, and keep the music and that kind of thing. You can also set it to start recording as soon as a sound comes over it. Another tab within control properties is the device tab, which allows you to set your sorry, the you can in the recorder you can set your recording source, and the device tab lets you set up some other things. You can within there you can determine whether you want to record via the mic or, as I say, record from your speakers. So all that kind of thing you can set up within that panel. And it's really, the main place you want to go. It's opened with F11, and it's the main place you want to go for just basically setting up the type of recording that you want to make. You can set a typical file size in the record tab so that when you open a new file, it's always set to, say, 1 hour, 10 minutes, or whatever you typically might want your file to be. I think when it comes, it maybe sets it to 1 minute or something. I think I had an irritating experience with that when I downloaded a new version after a long time. But yeah, that control properties window, F11, is where I mostly go if I want to do anything. When we talk about if we get to the fine editing, so you can edit by hundredths of a second, that again is a place where you want to go. If you want to make a loop out of a part of a track, that's the place where you want to go. So yeah, that's a whole bunch of things that you can do with it. It's, as I said, it's a lot simpler than a multi-tracker. You've basically got the one track. There is a rudimentary way of mixing sounds whereby you can paste a sound to, you can copy a sound to the clipboard and then mix it into another track. But I would say if you're looking to mix, you're far better off with a multi-tracker. I wouldn't use Goldwave as your kind of standard multi-tracking software. Not really designed for that. What it is best at is editing single files. And it will do a huge lot with them. If you go to the menus, it's a good old-fashioned interface. Hit the Alt key and up come the menus. Quite nostalgic for programs that do that. With loads of apps where you can't get menus anymore, or ribbon menus. So these are very easily navigable menus. And they give you access. I mean, particularly the exciting things, you have a load of effects in the effects menu, which allow you to change the volume of your sound. They allow you to EQ it, change the bass, middle, treble, whatever. You've got seven bands of EQ. You've got various filters, high pass, low pass, compression. You've got crazy things like flanger and mechanize, which makes it into a kind of robot. So all kinds of things you can do. I mostly use it for things like if I record something off YouTube and I want the applause to fade in and out, you can do that. You can tidy it up a bit, make it sound like a commercial recording. You can maximize volumes, you can normalize a bunch of tracks. You can, in the file menu, there is a very useful setting function which is batch processing, which allows you to take a bunch of files and convert them all to MP3. So if you just ripped your favorite CD to your hard drive. Yeah, a lot of these things are things that we don't all do anymore, but some people may still. So you just ripped a CD to your hard drive, then you can convert it into MP3 using the batch processing. Just chuck the folder into batch processing, convert it to an MP3 format of your choice, and bung it onto MP3 player of your choice. There are a set of tools which include the use of what are called cue points. You can bang these cue points into a file wherever you want them and split it where they come. You can automatically set them to be set in the silences between tracks, and so that will split an album for you if you've got a file. With Terry, you're talking about your cassette album. You can set the cue points between the tracks yourself, or you can get Goldwave to do them automatically. And you can set the sensitivity of that so that you hope if you've got a track with the silence in the middle of it, you can set the length of the minimum length of the silence. So if you set it maybe to 3 seconds or 2 seconds, it probably won't cut out in the middle of it, put a cue point in the middle of the track and split it. They should only fall where the track divisions come. But yeah, you can play around with those parameters until you've got the number of tracks you're expecting to get. And you've got pop and click filters. You've got stuff for removing. It's a great feature. I love this. If you've got a recording with a hum on it, and you can isolate a patch of the hum, you can copy that to the clipboard and get Goldwave to recognize that hum and then remove it from the recording. The thing I did in the presentation I did a few years ago, I had a recording of Garrison Keillor with a hum going through it, and Goldwave just completely stripped out the hum. Amazing. So, I mean, a huge number of things you can do. I mean, that's my sort of impressionistic overview of most of the kinds of things. You can actually rip a CD with it. Again, I wouldn't recommend it. It's not the best ripper there is, but that is a thing that it will do. So that's the overview. Any questions at this point?
I've got one.
Yeah.
Did I understand correctly that Goldwave works out of the box with screen readers, so no JavaScript or no, you know, add-ons or stuff like that?
Sorry, with no.
It's better to have the script files.
Yeah.
I think Alex said add-ons with no add-ons.
Help a lot, yes.
If you use JAWS, do you need anything like that, or does Goldwave work, as I said, out of the box?
I've got to admit, I haven't ever tried to use it without JAWS. So I don't really know.
But do you have extra? Do you have the scripts, David, or do you use it as it, you know, as it comes?
I have the scripts.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you didn't say much about the scripts, David. It's Phil here. Can I just tell a little bit about the scripts, what you can do with them? For example, if you do Alt-Shift-S, it will tell you where your start marker is. It will say, you know, 0.11 or whatever, or 0.00 if you're at the beginning of the file. If you do Alt-Shift-E, and you're in the middle of recording, say you're recording an LP or something, and you want to know how far in you are, if you do Alt-Shift-E, it will tell you the time elapsed of where it is at that point. You can also do Alt-Shift-F, which tells you the where the finish marker is. So when you're editing, it's really useful to be able to do that, because it gives you so much more powerful, you know, than not having the scripts. But actually... So that's my point, really. I just want to say that it's just so much easier when you...
Can I ask a question on that also, on that point, where you're editing? Is there, using that kind of functionality, is there a way of seeking where the waveform collapses to 0 dB and seeking points like that?
I don't know the answer to your question, but all I know is that I use the scripts all the time. I mean, you have to download them, I think. Somebody got them for me, and
my question was specific because of editing and what you were saying about having a quick function to find points in the timeline. So I'm interested in where it crosses zero and finding that quickly from a point in the track.
So David, when you want to find a place that there won't be a click, if you want to do a fine edit, those are the places where it's It is zero dB, so they call them zero crossings. Is there a way? Is there a quick way to find those points, or do you have to listen for them? How does that work?
I'm not aware of a way of getting it to report them. Is that for splitting files into tracks, or
no? If you just
fine editing, purpose?
Like if you're editing speech and you don't want to have clicks. Or if you're editing something which is quite low level, where the clicks would be noticeable, you don't want to have clicks at your edit points. So it's kind of finding the best place to cut, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
I mean, I just always do that by listening.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I do.
And by homing in.
The other question I just want to try and get in quickly then is exporting files from there. Are there any options of tweaking the export? I mean, is it MP3, PCM, 24-bit sort of thing? Can you also include things like markers or chapters in the, say, WAV file?
Yes. If you set cue points, it offers you the option of whether you include them or not when you're moving the file, yeah.
And things like, tempo and such.
Just say, I haven't used this for ages. Does it work with NVDA?
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
But you'd have to get the add-ons for it to make it work more easier.
Okay.
I've not tried it in NVDA. I mean, I use JAWS all the time. But you were talking about finding, getting rid of a click or something. So let's say you've got a speech program and there's a big click and you want to get rid of it. So what you do is you put the start marker. You keep playing it until you get to where the click is, and then you can go slightly backwards by doing F5, I think it is, and F6 to go forwards. And then when you just before the click, you put in your start marker, and then you listen to the click, and then as soon as it's finished, you put the pause button on and press the finish marker, and then you just press the delete key, and the click gone. It's really cool. It's a really good program to use for editing.
Yeah, and I mean, normally if I get a click on an edit, I redo the edit. That's kind of
it's not a big issue. I'm just wondering if it had that feature.
But you certainly, I mean, to talk about the fine editing, I've referred in the overview to using the view controls. Shall I do an edit? Shall I? Two of live editing.
So. That would be good. That would be good.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you can change the zoom as well. So if you want to make it microseconds, you can change it. There's all different things you can do, like shift four changes it, and then you can do shift three, and all different ones give you different values.
I just ask, what options do you get when you export in a file then?
Well, you can save it in MP3, and there's various other formats you can save it in.
Yeah, are you able to modify the bitrate or anything like that?
Well, you set up the bitrate to what you want it to be to start with. I don't think you can change it once you've recorded it.
I mean, for the export.
So say if you're saving an MP3 file from the recording that you've made, does it give you options to change the bitrate? Like you can choose 128.
Absolutely. Yeah. You do Control S to save the recording, and then you go through the tabs and it will say, do you want it as a WAV file or an MP3 file or whatever? So you select MP3, for example, then you tab four times forwards, and then it will take you to where the different bit rates are. So you can go to 160, whatever, you can change the bitrate to whatever you want. And then when you've got it completely set up, you just press enter, and then it'll save the file in the format that you've chosen.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
It's a really cool program. I think it's great. When you've set up your markers, say, to get rid of the click, and you want to be sure you're in the right place, you can then do your Alt-Shift-S to get it to tell you where that start marker is, 3 minutes and 6 seconds or whatever. And then you can do Alt-Shift-F, and then it will say 3 minutes and 8 seconds. And then you know that you're in the right place, and then you can just press delete, and it will get rid of that 1 or 2 seconds or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's so much easier to use with the scripts. I mean, people do use it without the scripts, but then you've got to tab around a lot more.
I'm talking about the scripts. Where can we get them?
I think you can get them from the website, can't you, Dave? From the website, can you get the scripts?
You know, it's so long since I downloaded them, I can't remember. Do you know, Phil?
I think you can get them from the Goldwave website.
Oh, okay.
I just did a Google check, and it says you can get download the scripts from something within the program itself.
Okay.
So maybe there's something to click on to download the Jaws scripts.
That's useful, thank you.
But it is so much easier to use Jaws scripts.
Yes, I used to use them, but I didn't realise you could have another way of getting them.
Do you know if it works on a MacBook and if it works with VoiceOver?
No, it's just a Windows program, that's for sure. Yeah.
When looking at a Goldwave, there seem to be different channels you can play files with, which to me was rather confusing because it didn't used to talk about channels.
Well, if you're recording in stereo, you get your two channels, don't you? Your left and your right channel.
No, it mentioned it in other things as well. Two or three channels or something like that, I think. I was looking a while back.
I've not used more than two myself.
Or does it understand MIDI?
Peter, you can answer that, can't you?
I don't know Goldwave, but I wouldn't think so. I think it's purely an audio editor, so I don't think it does MIDI, unless anyone knows to the contrary.
I've never used it.
No, I'm pretty sure it's just an audio editor.
But I've got mine set to F2 will play the whole file. F3 will just play the selected part of, you know, where you put your start and your end marker. And I can't remember if I've got the third cursor set up, but also you do control F9 to start the recording and control F8 to stop the recording. What else is there? There's F5 to go backwards, F6 to go forwards, and you can actually listen to it, like, you know, as if it was on a reel-to-reel tape recorder and you move the heads backwards, you know, you can actually hear it going backwards or going forwards, which is really quite useful if you want to get to the end of a track and then put in a cue marker or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. I used to find that very useful. But there's F4. I thought you used to, just in the old days, F4, which you used to play a file.
Yeah, well, you can set it up differently. I might set up for F2, but F4 stops it, I think. Yeah, F2 starts and F4 stops it. And you can pause it as well. When you're recording, you can do control F7 and it will pause the recording, and then control F7 again and it will continue the recording. And you can also press, when you're playing it back, you can press F7 to pause it and then F7 again to start it. I mean, there's so much you can do with it. It's, I mean, I use it all the time, nearly every day.
Yes, I know. I used it a lot about 14 years ago, but things have changed since then. I think there were one or two things with Fox Meat, so I need to really have a good look at it again, because, it, as you say, it is a very good program.
And also, if you record something on YouTube and the level is way too loud, so when you play it through your amp or your sound mixer or whatever, it sounds a bit distorted, you can actually go into the effects and then reduce the actual level of the whole track, and you can change it from, you know, like 100% down to 90%, 80%, 50%. And you can do it the other way around as well. If someone gives you a recording and it's a bit quiet, you can tell it to go to 150% and then save it in that, and it will make it sound completely louder. So it's really handy to be able to change the level, especially if you're getting stuff off of other people and, you know, you want to adjust it so that it's the right level for you.
That's another one. Can you detect things like, clip, loudest peak, or, you know, but essentially check levels and stuff like that? Can you do that in Goldwave?
I can't answer that question.
Like a limiter or something.
Yes, going back to changing the levels, I used to do it with the effect, but I wasn't sure about using normalize, because I always wondered whether it would sort of go into distortion rather than using normalize, as it were.
Yeah, well, I always find it better to set it to whatever percentage you want, either to, you know, a minus if you want to make it quieter, and a plus. 100, you know, like 150 would make it go half as loud again, sort of thing. I mean, if it's distorted to start with, even if you reduce the level, of course the distortion will stay there, won't it? You know, it's only like, for instance, if you've got a sound mixer and it's a bit too loud, and you want it to level it down to all the other recordings you've got, then you can make it quieter so that it's you can bring it down to 75% or 50% or whatever, and then just resave it. So that's really useful.
If you apply a bunch of equalizer settings, are you able to save them off as a profile or setting, or, you know, a preset that you can reuse?
I've not personally changed the equalization on it, because I've got a sound mixer with EQ on every channel anyway, so I've not really needed to, but I would imagine you can. I don't know, Dave, you might know the answer to that one.
Well, I'm just talking about, like, when you've applied effects and things, you know, like reverb or whatever, and, you know, if you just want to save it quickly and then reuse it on a different clip, I mean, you know.
You can just do Control S if you want to save anything, and then
actual settings, I mean, for the
David, how are you getting on with Jaws? Can you hear us still? Not sure if we've lost him.
Good evening, sorry I'm late.
Oh, no, hello. Who's this?
It's Joe Payton here.
Oh, Joe, hi.
Hi there.
How are you doing? A long time. This is Peter here.
Hi, Pete.
I'm just doing the Zoom hosting, but we've lost David at the moment, who is presenting. So, fortunately, quite a few other people use Goldwave, so we've got different degrees of experience. Have you used it?
I have. I'm just going to make. Yes, you can. You can save presets.
Okay.
Yeah, David's gone.
David's gone. So David's hopefully gone. He'll come back. Yes.
He'll come back. So if you there's normally a group of four or five presets, and you can add to them.
Okay.
So you can. Barry's going. Bye, Barry. and the other thing, if you go into the effects menu and you go into volume, and you go into maximize volume, and it scans the file, then you apply that gain, you can see how many dB either channel has been raised by. So if your left channel was a little bit lower than your right, it'll be brought in parallel with.
Uh-huh.
So then you know that you've got a good, or you should have a good, if your ears agree with what's on the screen, then you should have a good signal, I think.
Yeah, thanks. So,
someone was asking a while back, Joe, do you know if it's possible to monitor levels? Can you actually check the overall level at any point?
Well, if you can see the wave. I mean, it doesn't help you, I suppose, if you can't see at all. I've got some sight and I can see because the louder it gets, the wave actually gets wider.
Yes. I think if you press... bye, Brooke. If you press Alt F6, sorry, if you press Alt F6 and you're in a window where you can see the running time, it's often handy if you forget, have I pressed pause? You can look in this window and you can see the clock going up. And I think at the bottom of that window, you can see the levels that are currently happening. But It's kind of passed me by. I've used the clock a lot, but I haven't, like you, you know, running through a hardware mixer. You've got much better control over it all the time. You know, it's just. But then the other problem that I found with some mixers is if you record a piece of audio that's too quiet, then what happens is when you bring the volume up, you also bring up the floor noise of the mixer.
Of course.
So then, you know, if there's any background in there, then you're done because it's going to come up with the volume of the audio.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, is there any automation that you can utilize in there? You know, setting the levels in sort of playback time.
So I think for ducking, auto, can't you? Where it automatically changes, but I wouldn't use that personally. But
no, I agree. I agree with you.
I mean, I've got a Behringer mixer, and I've got it's about 20 channels on it because I do live radio. So, you know,
another thing. Can you apply a fade to the start and end of clips?
Yeah,
we can fade in and fade out. You can do that.
Yeah, you can fade it, and you can fade if you want to fade it out early. You can set the markers to say a track's 3 minutes long, and you want it to fade out at 2:50. Mm. You put the marker on the 2:50, and the finish marker on the 2:58 or whatever, and then you just tell it to fade out or fade in, whatever way you want to do it, and it'll do it. And it will say,
is it just trailer and footer? You can't sort of do, you know, level changes halfway through a clip, for example.
Yeah, you can. You could do. Yeah, you can. Whatever you put the markers around, you can do it.
You can play with that piece of audio.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can drag the audio down to zero and things.
Yeah.
Well, you'd probably insert silence if you wanted silence.
And then fade it.
Yeah, you can do that as well, can't you?
Yeah.
Yes, you can set silence. It's another thing I used to do or have done in the past is if you have open reel, you can record something, say at 7.5, and then bring it down to 3.75, an octave lower, with Gold Wave, and that seemed to work pretty well.
Yeah, you can also go backwards. You can make it go backwards as well.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to do a competition of a record playing backwards and you want people to know what it is, you can do that as well.
Can you do time stretch with it then as well?
I don't know about that.
I'm not quite sure.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so, but I'm not quite sure what you mean by time stretch.
Well, I mean, if it's a piece of music, say, and I want to modify the tempo, it will automatically adjust pitch and stuff and...
I think, but the trouble is when you adjust the tempo, it will adjust the pitch. I think for what you might want to do is available in, what's that other program called?
What, Reaper?
Well, that's one of them, but that's a paid one. But there's another free one that does that quite well. And I can't think of the name of it. That's Aura City. What did you say, sorry?
Audacity.
Audacity could be.
Yes, that's the one. That's the one. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Terry's gone.
Was it something you said, Joe?
I must have been.
Is it Audacity?
Just like that, you know. when I come in, he goes out.
Yeah, Audacity is free, isn't it, I think? But,
yes, it is. But it's a whole different interface to Goldwave. To manage the two, I think, would be testing my feeble.
Yeah, I mean...
see what happens? I live in a street with nobody in it.
Well, the place where we're trying to edit
the fact audio that
files, we've had real difficulties with Audacity and accessibility, like VoiceOver and TalkBack and JAWS.
What I was going to say was that the guy who wrote the program, Chris, is an amazing bloke, and he actually took the trouble to try and ask blind people how could he make it more accessible? He went to one of the CAB, the American Council of the Blind, whatever it is. And he went there and he actually asked them and said, "Look, what do you want me to do with this program?" And a lot of people came up with loads of suggestions. And then 6 months later, he came back and said, "There you go," and he'd done it all. You know, I mean, it's amazing. So, as far as JAWS is concerned, I'd say if you've got the scripts, it's probably the most easiest program to use for, you know, for VIs. I mean, you can't do multi-tracking like they were saying earlier on, you know, something like that, you'd need Reaper. But if you're just going to be doing recording programs and recording music and stereo and that sort of thing, then it's, you know, there's everything there you could possibly want.
Yes, I know when I used to have a script, someone made me a script where I could tell whether the recording was going to be minus two or whatever, and having to record in the minus rather than the plus, which would be lead to distortion. And that was very useful.
Oh, yeah.
And I've lost that now.
I haven't got that, but I just go on looking at it, you know, because I can see enough to see the display. So I'm lucky in that respect.
David is back. David, can you hear us again?
Sorry, are these scripts text files or, you know, like XML files or whatever? Are you able to copy and paste them into something to share, like a document, you know, an electronic document you could share amongst the community?
No, they're in code. So only JAWS can see, only JAWS can, you know, you have to have JAWS and then you would load them into JAWS, but they're not shareable directly.
Okay.
David, can you hear us?
Phil and Joe, if people have got questions after tonight's meeting, is there a Goldwave users group, i.e. one specifically for blind people and a general one for sighted users and VR users?
I don't know the answer to that.
You'd have to Google to find that out. Yeah, okay.
But you can always contact Chris, you know, the guy, the author who wrote it. I mean, he'd be able to tell you.
Hmm. I would imagine there is.
You've got his email address. He's very good. I mean, he answers emails and he answers questions and things like that. He's a brilliant bloke, really.
Very good. He's very good.
And well, that's quite encouraging to hear that he reacted so quickly and, in depth to those suggestions made by ACB members.
Yeah, I mean, how many other programs do you know of where the author has actually gone to, you know, ACB or whatever and said, look, what is it you want? I mean, how many other authors do you know have done that? There's not many.
Well, it's virtually unheard of, I would suggest.
So that's why I would say that it's the best program to use if you're just doing, you know, the sort of things that I'm doing, you know, sort of recording programs and editing programs and that sort of thing. It's the best possible one you could use.
And of course, once you've bought it, I mean, I don't know how he keeps alive, because one purchase, and up to now, I think it's a lifetime purchase.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty astonishing.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting program, isn't it? So I think it's really wonderful. It's Phil here, by the way, Phil Troll. I haven't spoke to you for years.
No, you haven't. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, it's a wonderful program, isn't it?
It's a great program. Fantastic. It's a great program. I mean, it certainly, if it does what you want it to do, it's great. But if you do want to do, if you want to work with MIDI and you want to do half the stuff that Reaper will do, then that's, again, another learning curve.
Yeah.
And it's completely different to how Goldwave behaves, how it's operated. But it does have some excellent support from its list for visually impaired users, and there's some smart cookies on that list who can answer almost anything. But I, for what I'm doing up to now, I've done a couple of multi-tracks, but it's not what I do, like you, Phil. I'm doing mostly audio editing, straightforward two-track stereo, and Goldwave does what I need. But I have this itch to think, everybody's talking about Reaper. I've got to go and do it. But, you know, time is not of the essence. Well, it is of the essence, which is why I haven't done it.
Well, it's a new learning curve, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. It's a huge learning curve. It's such a flexible piece of software.
Do you have details of the list, Joe? Because someone was asking about that. Is it an email group?
Muted on the screen. I'm so sorry.
Am I unmuted now?
Yes, you are. Hi. Welcome back.
It was saying recording in progress, you are muted. And it didn't give me an unmute button. So I'd be.
That's when that happens. That's when you need to find got it or okay, because and that's in a different window. So yeah.
You can do Control F6 and that gets you to it quickly.
I'm on my iPhone because I cannot get my computer talking. It's completely oh, wow. silent. So okay. I'm on the phone, but I can do some editing on the phone, I think. I've probably missed quite a lot of where the conversation has got to, though.
We have Joe Payton with us, who wasn't there before, David, and he's quite an experienced Goldwave user too. So there's been a good bit of conversation about various things, and we were just asking about the email group for Goldwave users. Does anyone know the details for that?
I think they're on the Goldwave. There's certainly a forum which is mentioned on the Goldwave site.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If you follow, I had a look at it today because it's ages since I've been on the Goldwave site. I just downloaded the new version recently, but I'm trying to think what I followed. Yeah, it's the where they announce where you by where the link is for the download of the new version. There's a What's New link, and if you follow the What's New link, it takes you to Goldwave announcements. And at the top of that page, I noticed a link to a forum which I haven't been on, but might well be worth a look.
Yeah, that sounds whether interesting.
The same thing as the email group, I don't know, but may just be two different ways of delivering the same stuff.
There's 20 minutes left. Technically, we can go a little bit over, but if you'd like to decide what you'd best like to show in the next, say, 20 minutes or half an hour maximum.
Yeah. Okay. Look, let me just do one or two things.
Long-term use for desktop. Real quick inbox outlook data.
Can you hear my?
Yes. Very good. Yep.
Long-term use. 2 of 3. Long-term use. Windows N, start button to open presenter. Join home desktop. Inbox outlook date. Join home desktop. Inbox. Join home use.
Okay, so I'm going to grab Goldwave.
Goldwave.
And just demonstrate a couple of things that are quite useful. If you've got in the view menu, if your view is set to follow playback. You can use the view menu controls for a couple of things, one of which is the fine editing, and the other of which is going quickly through a sound file. So the way that works is that the number keys, you know, your ordinary number row on the keyboard, you can use with the shift key to set the view to different levels. So shift 1 gives you 1 pixel, shift 2 gives you 1 second, shift 3 gives you, I think it's 10 seconds, and shift 4 gives you 1 minute. So you can use that to whiz through a file. So I'm just going to grab
Goldwave 204, Goldwave MDI Mac Controller.
Just open something in Goldwave.
Open sound dialog. File name it. Folder view list view. Not selected. Amazon Wonderland 1. Order dot log. Wonder 145. The move to items use the arrow keys. To edit the selected item, press F2. Amazon 1. Enter.
Okay, I'm just going to open the first file I see as we're short of time.
F4.
I use Shift F4 mostly, I think.
Shift
4, sorry. And did you know you can do Shift A and that highlights the whole file? So if you've been recording for 2 hours, you can highlight the whole file and jump from the beginning to the end very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. So here we go. So I'm just going to play this file. If I want to get through it quickly, Shift 4.
Page down. Page down. Page down.
With page down. There we go. I'm through. That's more or less a 3-minute song, and I can shoot through it within 5 clicks of the page down.
F4. Black. Black.
Arrow keys.
Black.
Rather as in.
Yeah, the arrow keys are really useful to use, you know, when you're editing.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just going to edit a bit of that, bit of this track.
F8, F4, F7.
So there's a...
F4. F8.
So as you can hear, it's a waltz.
F4. F7.
So I'm just going to edit.
F8. F4. F7.
That bar. So the way, for people who aren't familiar with it, the way it works, I think is really simple to follow. It uses the square bracket keys, which are the ones to the right of the P, to select an area. So if I just hit the left square bracket, that's the beginning of my selection. I'm just going to hit pause.
F7.
And I'm now going to hit my right bracket.
Right bracket.
And because I've got F3 set to play the selection.
F3.
So that's now playing the selection.
And then you can press delete, can't you, if you want to.
So I can now, one thing that it's quite nice to do is you can obviously delete that. You can cut it. What I will quite often do if I want to work on a, well, in fact, normally what I'll do this now, actually. So I'm just going to get rid of that selection by, again, just like a Word document, it's Control A. And now the whole file is selected. And what I will normally do, if I'm going to work on a track, I've opened it. When a track is open, it's selected by default anyway. But if you're worried about it, you can all day. But I'm just going to Control C, copy the track, and Control P, paste it into a new file.
F4.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
F8.
So this is now giving me. I'm now going to. Control F6.
Control F6. Alice in Wonderland.
To my original file, Alice in Wonderland, and I'm going to close it.
F4.
And now I've got F7. A file called Untitled 1, which is my copy of that track. So now I can play to my heart's content with this because it's a copy. I can always reopen the original if I want to.
F4.
Yep.
F4. F7.
So I think I want to take that note.
F7. F7. F7.
So you can hear there I've got the beginning of the next word after my selection. So I'm going to drop my right bracket. So I have bracketed from the beginning
right bracket
to where I dropped that bracket. Now, if I want to see where the bracket's gone in, I can use Shift or Control. Shift with that bracket that I just dropped should play me the end of my selection.
Like me.
Yeah, so that's
like me.
So that's where I thought it was. So I want to get to the end of her note. So I'm just going to do Shift 1, which zooms in the view to just where we are now. And I'm just going to move my finish marker that I just dropped, my right bracket, inwards. So if I was moving the start marker, I'd be using shift and the arrow keys. To move the finish marker, I use control shift with the arrow keys. So I've got control shift. I'm going to use my left arrow to move that bracket nearer to the beginning of the track. And because I've set because I've set in the control properties the control that allows me that tells Goldwave to give me a little preview of where my marker is. I'm just gonna show you that. So you can hear. There we go. That's pretty much the end of her note. That was a little bit of rather quick. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'll go with that. Yeah, as you can hear that, you can just hear the beginning of the note. So that was a right arrow. I'm just going to left arrow. And that's the exact end of her note. So if I really love hearing her singing that note, I can now copy that, paste it to its own file, and I can listen to that note for as long as I want to. So you can see that gave me a fairly fine edit, pretty close to scrub editing. You can also actually set the wind and rewind to really slow speed. So if you want, again, something that's like a scrub edit, if you take the wind or rewind control right down to the slowest speed they'll do, they will give you a really slow wind, rewind, and you can easily use your pause button to drop into spaces and set your selection there. So yeah, you can do some pretty fine editing.
Can you demonstrate that, David?
You can also the letters, can't you, Dave? Like L, K, and
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I must admit it's not one that I use, but you absolutely can. Yeah.
And if you do shift J, for example, you can make it go slower and slower and slower until you've got it really slow. And then if you want it to go normal again, you just do K.
Yeah.
And it goes back to normal.
Yeah. So, I'm just going through.
To make it go faster.
I just hit my F11. I'm in the control properties. I'm going through the cursors that I was talking about. So here we go. I'm gonna set both my wind speeds way low.
0.1.
In fact, I almost never use the wind and rewind at their normal speeds. On this machine, I hadn't set them as low as this previously, but let's give it a look.
0.10.
So they're now both on 0.1. I'm going to press enter to save that change. So let's have a listen to this. That is, I'm forward winding through that sound. And as you can hear, that's a very slow movement. So slow, I can barely hear where I am. There you are, some nice little clicks there. We could take those clicks out using the method I used previously. Yeah, so, you know, you can do some pretty fine editing. And certainly, I mean, I am reasonably practiced at just using the pause button to edit, but obviously there are some occasions when that's not fine enough. And these are, I would say, as fine, if not finer, than you can do on some more expensive kit than Goldwave.
A lot of it's plug and play, isn't it, Dave? I mean,
it is.
The more you use it, the more things you find out about it.
Yeah, I'm a great advocate of strolling through the menus. When I did the session a few years ago, a lot of people were saying, "Oh, what's the hotkey for this? What's the hotkey for that?" And I actually quite like to just open up a menu and stroll through it and remind myself. I mean, you know, you'll have gathered from my overview, there's a hell of a lot you can do within Goldwave. And sometimes I forget what I can do. And if I just stroll through the effects menu particularly, but also the tools menu, you think, oh, what the heck's that? Well, I can use that. One thing I would say, actually, about the effects, let me just grab the EQ, because it's typical of a Goldwave effect dialogue. I'm going to go to my other window.
Control F5. Control F6. Untitled 2. Escape. Alt F6. Control. Alt F6. Untitled 2. Alt F6.
What am I doing?
Control F6. Untitled 1.
So you can leave my senses. Here we are.
F4.
One thing about undoing stuff.
Undo. Escape. Undo.
Control Z.
F4.
I'm just doing Control Z. Right. Let me get the C. One thing I quite like to do there is, rather than doing Control Z, I like to do Alt E, which brings up the edit menu.
Alt E menu, edit menu, undo CTRL plus Z unavailable.
Now it's saying it's unavailable at the moment. What it would normally
escape
do if I've just done something is it will tell me what it's about to undo. So sometimes I like to just check what it is that I'm undoing.
Control F6, untitled 2, F4.
But if you delete something by accident, then you can do Control Z.
Control Z is a really quick way of
bring it back to where it was. I mean, we all make mistakes, don't we? And so I've done that sometimes. I'm like, oh no, I've just deleted the whole track.
Yeah,
and Control Z, and it's back there again.
So I'm just going to grab my original Alice in Wonderland. So the effects menu is Alt C.
Menu, effect menu, sensor, dot, 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 to move through items, split up or down arrow, C.
And I'm going to hit F for filter. And you've got a whole range of filters here. You've got a band pass. I'm going to use the equalizer. And the typical way these work is, when you open it, it says presets. And so it's got a whole bunch of presets here. Boost bass.
Boost
mid, boost treble,
equal loudness, default.
Default, equal loudness, inverse RIAA curve.
No, combo only
so there's a whole range of stuff. And if you want to try these out, I'm just going to tab across.
Reset, remove preview.
To preview. I'm going to hit preview. And now I'm going to shift tab back to the presets.
Reset,
just arrow down through them. Reduce bass. As you can hear, that's what it's done.
Reduce mid.
Why not? That's what we all do, scoop the mids. Reduce treble.
Rising curve. End of the rising curve.
That's the RIAA curve, which is, I think, the smiley face kind of curve.
That's end combo thin.
That is thin.
Reset edit combo pin.
So if you like what you hear, you can hit enter and you can apply that to the selection, which in this case is the whole song. I'm just going to edit out of that and start it off again.
All the menu, all options, remove all dot A. Man for slash equalizer dot enter, leaving menus. Alice in Wonderland resets edit combo.
Now, if I had.
One stop. OK button.
I hit,
handle button.
I'm going to hit
button to activate
preview again.
Handle button to act. OK button. Stop. OK cancel. Help button. 16 HZ edit. 0 zip help button. OK. Stop. Preview. Space.
And I'm tabbing beyond it now.
OK button to act. Cancel button. Help button to act. 16 HZ edit.
And what I find is that I've got finer controls. If I don't want to. If I don't want to use the preset, if I think I can improve on the preset, I've now got a 7-band equalizer with different, well, you know, with 7-band equalizer, we probably all know what that is. So you've got bass, you've got wave, you've got frequency bands in the bass and mid and treble areas that you can cut or boost. So that gives you much finer control than you have with the presets. You can save those if you find one that you think is your perfect version of a boost bass preset. You can set a name for it and save those as your very own favorite EQ preset of whatever kind that is. And that's really typical of all the effect controls. You have a set of presets, which are usually really handy presets. But if you are a perfectionist and you want to tweak them and have your own versions of them, if you keep tabbing along, you'll come to the parameter settings which allow you to do that. So yeah, pretty handy. You can do quite a lot with that. It's more limited, obviously, than something like Reaper. You know, it's got some reverbs. It's only got 3 reverbs, but you can control parameters again, like the pre-delay, obviously the time of the reverb. You know, the length of reverb, whether you want a 1 second or a 2 second reverb. So quite a bit you can do. We were talking about dividing stuff into tracks. The tools menu.
Escape. OK, menu, full menu, CD reader.
Got the CD reader, you want to rip from it.
Control. Check. E. Cue points. E.
The cue points dialogue. This is the one that we were talking about where you can split the file. I mean, you can just bang in the cue point with control Q. You can hit your pause button, and if you're happy with where you hit it, you can hit control Q, and that drops the cue point in automatically. But if you want to do lots of cue points in the same file.
Plan. New dot 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 button, close button, to active help button, auto cue dot 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 button, to activate
quick space bar. You've got this auto cue, which will, let's look space at that, because that'll drop
mark silence tab, spacing tab.
The cue points in.
Mark silence tab, spacing tab.
There's the mark silence, the spacing
1.00% edit, minus 40.00, typed in text. Minimum length edit, 1.50, typed in 1.00% edit, minus 40.00.
So that, you can set a percentage. Where your cutoff for the silence will be. So obviously, the lower you set that, the more fussy it's going to be about defining a silence as a silence. If you're afraid that you might have a bit of hiss or something, so that your silences won't all be silences, won't all be silent. You know, you can make it more severe, or you can set a minimum length for the silence. So as I was saying earlier, when it puts them in automatically, if it sees a 1 second silence and you've set your silence to 3 or 4 seconds, it won't put a cue point in, so it's less likely to split your track if the track happened to have a silence
cue placement
in it.
Area percent edit, 0. Cue placement within area percent edit, 0.000.
So that's within area. I'm not quite... Phil, do you know what that does? I'm not sure.
Well, I was going to ask you a question. How do you, when you set up a load of cue points, say you're putting an LP in, you want it to automatically put in the cue points. When you're editing it, how do you then jump from, say, cue point one to cue point two or three or four? I've never done that myself. So.
Control J.
Oh, is that what it is?
We'll do that. Yeah.
And that jumps what to the next one?
Yeah.
So you have to do it several times. Say, if you want to go 2 to 5, for example, then.
I think you can. Oh, God, you know, it's ages since I've done this. You can put a number in.
I must admit, I've not done a lot with cue points myself, but.
I'm sure there is a way of doing it, and I think it's. You can certainly do it if you've got the. Let me just go through this, because if you've got the, it gives you a list of cue points, and you can certainly select a cue point to jump to. But I'm pretty sure that you can hit a number with a jump command, and it will jump to that cue point. But it's years since I've done it.
Cue placement within area percent edit. Clip. Set a cue point within a silent area as well. A cue name in time based HMS radio button check. 3 of 3. To change the selection, press up or down arrow.
You can select how.
Okay, button. To like cancel button.
Okay,
to activate.
So
click spacebar. Space. Gold wave. Cue points. Auto cue.
Button. I wonder if I can do this just quickly.
F4. F8. Input Outlook data file, my choice, home is desktop, gold waves, 1 of 4, auto cue, dot button, to activate, press space bar, alt plus U. Import. Cue list. List view, 0 item.
You got the thing that allows you to.
Escape. Alice in Wonderland 1.
Import them. And you've got the thing that gives, that will give you the cue
menu bar,
list.
Escape. Menu bar, alt, menu, full menu, CD reader, dot, to move through, control, the cue points, dot, key. Enter, limit menu, cue, no, dot, head above, position, head above, name, head above, cue, dot, button, duet, close button, duet, help button, duet, auto, cue, dot, import. List view, 0 items, to move through item, use the arrow key, new, dot, button, duet, close button, help button, duet, activate, auto, cue, dot,
okay,
button,
okay, so it's not showing any cue points at the moment, because I haven't put it in. I'm going to put a cue point right at the beginning, because they do warn you that there isn't, if you are splitting a file, you need to put a cue point at the start.
F8.
So let's put a control Q.
Control Q.
Now I'm just going to...
F4. F7.
Put in another one here.
Control Q. F7. F7.
Another one here, and then we'll just open that dialogue, and it should show us where all our
alt menu, full menu,
cue points are.
Items, click control, cue points, key. Enter, leaving menus, cue points, list view, 1 0 o'clock, 0.00.
There we go, got a list view now.
New button to activate, port list view, 1 0 o'clock, 0.00000 o'clock, 0.00000, 1 of 3, to move to right.
A lot of zeros.
2 0 o'clock, 0.4.
And I'm arrowing down.
2 0 o'clock, 0.
And that's giving me my second one.
3 0 o'clock, 10.
Arrowing down, that's giving me my third one.
2 0 o'clock, 3 0 o'clock, 10.59. Enter, Alice in Wonderland 1, or Alice in Wonderland 1, or the 12.
So let's see.
Escape, Alice in Wonderland 1, or the 12. Escape. Alice in Wonderland 1, order 12. Inbox Outlook data. Gold wave. Choice home use. 3. Gold wave. 2 of 4. F4.
So,
F8.
Try Control J.
Control J. F4. Control J. Control J. Control J. 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 K. J, K, F8. F4. Control J. Control J. F8. F8.
Right, I'm going to have to bone up on cue points. You can certainly, what I've done in the past with these is set it so that it selects the point up to one cue point and then the next cue point, and that may have been where I was using Control J. But yeah, as you as I say, you can use that dialog. It'll tell you where your cue points are, and you can move them and use them to split the file at the points where you've set them, or you can get the auto thing to set them automatically.
Dave, and also you can record, you can load several different tracks at once. So like you do Control O to open a track, and then you do Shift Tab a couple of times to get backwards, and then you're in your list of all the tracks that are there, and you can then load, say, two different tracks.
You can, yeah.
You can move then if you get something highlighted and you cut it to the clipboard, for example. You can then do Control 6, I think it is, or is it Control F6, and that takes you from the first open file to the second open file.
That's right, Control F6.
You can paste what you've saved from the other one into the second file.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely really handy. If you want to say, when I'm recording an hour's program, if it's only 59 minutes and I want to add a jingle or something in to make it up to the 1 minute, I can grab it from another file and then paste it into the second file.
So that's right. And you can paste at different points, can't you? Yeah, it's rather weird in a way, because you can paste at the beginning of the file or the end of the file, or where the start marker is, or where the finish marker is. So control, your normal Control V for paste pastes at the start marker, and Control F pastes at the finish marker, Control B beginning of file, Control E end of file. So it's a thing to watch out for. I have occasionally left a big gap in the middle because I pasted one at the start marker and all the others at the end marker. But it's very versatile. Any more questions about specific?
It's certainly an amazing program, isn't it?
It really is. I think, you know, particularly now they've cut the price so much, you just can't believe how many things you can do with it.
Yeah, a couple of quick questions, David.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as a key describer mode where you could go, if you were uncertain about various key combinations, you could go into key describer mode, try it to see what it, to confirm there, that it definitely is what you think
there
it is.
There isn't, but I tell you what there is. I'm a big advocate of the Goldwave manual. I think it's one of the best manuals,
yes, indeed,
that I've ever come across. And you can get to it if you do H for help.
Yeah.
It says manual, and you can open it. And it's basically, it'll open in your browser. It's an HTML file. And at the end of it, there is a keystroke. There's an accessibility section, and there is a keystroke summary. It's all very right.
Does it split it up into categories?
Sorry, does it?
Does it split it up into categories?
I think it does, actually. If
like editing, recording, you know, that's
yeah. I think I'm pretty sure it does. My tutorial that I put together for the session I did for BCAB, which I very narcissistically called Dave Wave, does precisely that. So if I think Peter Tavit members have access to that on your website, do they?
We do. Is that still current?
It isn't all current. I have put it on my to-do list to update it. There are certain things, like, for example, at the point when I wrote it, Well, I talk about the BBC iPlayer, and now it's BBC Sounds. But the main thing that I noticed was it used to be the case that when Goldwave was installed, it was automatically set to a setting called What You Hear, which meant that anything you played on your computer could be recorded in Goldwave. And I think that because of copyright owners' pressures, he stopped shipping it like that, and you now have this loopback speakers setting that you have to get if you want to record the sound that's on your computer. Now, that wasn't Dave Wave still has the old What You Hear, so I must write something to update that. Everything else is pretty much as it is now, and oh, there is great. That keystroke summary at the end of it, which does split them up. I mean, to be honest, it wouldn't take me moments to open the Goldwave manual and confirm that for you, because again, it's divided up with headings so that when you get to the bit on the menus, you know, you've got a level 2 heading for each individual one. So there's level 2.
Oh, so the navigation is pretty slick. Final, yeah.
And then within that, they're level 3. So it is really quick to get around.
I think you can do Control F1 as well, can't you, to get help, if I remember rightly?
Oh, let's have a go at that. Control F1, let's try it.
Control F1.
Maybe I'm getting confused, but...
Zero. Inbox Outlook, Jaws Home, New Desktop, Broadway, 1 to 4, Amazon 1 to 1, Order to 1.
True F1.
Control F1.
Usually it's F1 on its own for help, so maybe...
Yeah, maybe that's what it is in
F1. I think F1 on its...
Or insert F1.
I can presenter on the view, the F6 key for move to and meaning, menu commands book, how do I dot 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 book? Menu commands book closed, introduction book closed.
Or is it into F1? Oh, get now.
Windows, 1 of 3. Object editing overview. Object company. Level 0. Menu commands book closed. How do I dot 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 book? How do I dot?
That's interesting. This is a.
Object combat menu file. Object players.
It's a different form. It's not the manual itself. It's topics.
Object select part of a sound.
You know, in the kind of Windows help way where you click on a topic and then hit Control F6.
Oh, yeah.
To get to it. So, I was just going to get rid of that.
All page. Escape.
Not letting me out of it now. Here we go, yeah. So I'm just going to...
Menu, help menu, contents F1, the move, manual, end.
Manual, there you go.
Menu, Amazon Wonderland 1, order.log. Amazon Wonderland 1, order.log.
Could I just ask my second question before Peter winds up, please, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going back to the menus. Are they the conventional event menus that we used to love, or have they gone down the design of, like, the ribbon cut?
No, they are wonderful. Wonderful old-fashioned menus. They're absolutely usable. They're not the horrible ribbons at all.
Yeah, fine.
So,
Alt C U T, and then that takes you very quickly to where you want to be. Alt C is how can I explain it? Change. One of them changes. You can, Alt C to start with, isn't it? And then you do U for utilities and C for change the sound level or something like that. So once you learn these commands, you can do things really quickly.
Yeah.
Broadway register table of contents.
Menus are brilliant.
Getting started, Fed 3, Unit IV, Gen, Appendix A, Appendix D, Keyboard Command, Appendix C.
Appendix.
Appendix B, Keyboard Commands, heading level 1.
Appendix B, Keyboard Commands.
Standard menu additional same page from your assigned shortcuts. Table with two copies code. Action. CP select CP office, the CP copy, CP display, CP office, the CP office, the CP display, the window does set the playback cursor location to a specific not JKM lines, play, and does not ship make CP.
Yeah, well, those don't seem to be split up the way I've split them up in DaveWave, but it's certainly a list of keystrokes. And it's well worth reading the accessibility section. It's really helpful. He really has done everything he can to make it usable for us. I must say, I think, you know, as Phil says.
On that note, I'm going to need to wind it up. But is there anything that you really like to cover or mention that you haven't yet mentioned?
I don't think so. No, I think, you know, those the things that I demoed were the things that I wanted to demo. I would probably just have done a few more of the same, of, you know, similar things. The music demo, pretty much did demo the music thing. No, I think I'm really sorry for the outage, but I think I've covered everything that was in the overview, rather more speedily than I meant to.
Oh, thanks so much for sticking with it, and it's been a really great sort of not just overview, but a really good impression of the program. I think everyone's had a chance to get what they needed from it. So many, many thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for your patience.
That's a pleasure.